Now let's go back to the pyramids. This pyramid is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. See these passages? Look at this picture. You follow that all the way down, then it levels out into a pit that's an upside-down room. It's all sealed and finished on top, but bad on the bottom. Now, these steps don't exist. This is a carve-away or a cutaway from the interior of the pyramid. These are the various blocks and the 203-some layers of blocks that build it. But so many pyramid inches, and as I was saying when we lost the sound, miraculously, when you consider how long ago it was, the builders of the pyramid knew the exact measuring device with which you can accurately figure out the dimensions of this universe. The metric system that came out of the French Revolution is simply not accurate. You'll be off by the time you get to the sun. The measuring unit on which the universe we live in is built is an increment that exactly represents 1/500,000,000th of the distance from the north to the south pole. Take those two poles and hang a plumb line right through the center of the earth and divide it into 500 million equal parts. You'll have what's called the pyramid inch, what some call the sacred inch. You take 25 of them and you have what's called the long cubit in the book of Ezekiel, the sacred cubit by some, the pyramid cubit by others. Now, the ancient cubit of ordinary men, if we just evolved like savages, then a cubit was the distance between your elbow and the extended index finger. And you'd go out and measure the cubit that way, which differed with the length of the arm. There was a royal cubit in Egypt called the profane cubit sometimes. A cubit is 25 inches by that formula, if you know what the inches are. Actually, the royal cubit broke down into 100 unit parts called mass. But the sacred cubit is unique. Like it or lump it, the anti-Hebrew or Christian, there's only a few places in the world that cubit was used. The Ark of the Covenant, that the Raiders of the Lost Ark had so much to do about. And no, it hasn't been found in Jordan. I don't know where it's at. It's in Washington. Those bureaucrats stored it with those weapons. I saw the movie. Where the ark is. I wish they'd done the research right. Broken stones did not go in the ark. Unbroken stones went in the ark. That's another subject. The Ark of the Covenant was built with a sacred cubit. The Temple of Solomon. The Masons traced themselves back to that master Mason that had that knowledge. Solomon's Temple was built with a royal cubit. There's indication that the Bible at least wants us to believe Noah's Ark was built with it. Ezekiel specifically says that temple to be built that he prophesies about in the reconstruction chapters that many churchmen, me included, believe is the millennium time. It also is to be built specifically with the long cubit, which is the 25-inch sacred cubit, not the 20-some-inch royal or shorter cubit. That cubit is based upon, and the importance of it is, only one place you find it working. The Ark of the Covenant, Solomon's Temple, the Temple of the Millennium, if Ezekiel's prophecy is true, and this pyramid. How do they interconnect? Only one other place in the world does that inch find expression. It goes to England, and it goes to America, and the British inch and the American inch is one half a human hair's breadth longer than this inch. You take a human hair down, slice it. Half of that human hair is how much the inch is deviated from 4,000, 5,000 years ago when the pyramid builders put it up. Inside, if you follow these inches down, you come to a spot where the passageways turn upward. You can see it there. You have to stoop. If you go to the pyramid now, you can go up that passage because the Arab that dug his way in dug around the granite block. And as you go up that passage, you have to stoop. It's very narrow. Then all of a sudden you break out into a passageway that you can stand upward in. 286.1 pyramid inches higher, you can stand upward. Horizontal passageway leads into what is called the Queen's Chamber from the old pyramid Book of the Dead, Egyptian Book of the Dead. You get on up to the top of this passageway, again moves to a level passage. A little stooped area, then opens into an antechamber, then a second stooped area, then it breaks into a big room called the king's chamber. You turn right and you go to what is called a coffin, but it's actually a rectangular box open at the top, and there was a body in it, and it has exactly the same cubic measurement, that little box. The exact, can you get in close enough to see this, Mike? See that little box back in the corner there? Can you see it? That's the open coffin. That's what drove those Arabs crazy when they dug through snakes and bat dung and bats and got to that open coffin. They thought they'd find a treasure and there wasn't anything in it. It's movable. It's like you can move it back and forth in this room. But that little rectangular box has exactly the cubic dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. Exactly. Now, beginning with Menzies, I suppose, the Scotsman and many others, several things were discovered about these passages. One time in history, and only one time in history, the star Thuban, hard to write on that slick paper, the star Thuban from the constellation Draconis was the North Star. Polaris is the North Star now, but because of the precession of the equinoxes, Polaris was not always the North Star. One time in history, the North Star was Thuban in the constellation Dragon, symbolic of evil, demon, devil influence. That star shined all the way down this passage and could be reflected in a puddle of water at the bottom. At that same time in history, more than 2,000 years B.C., scored lines like a crosshair in this passage mark, in the same gallery of the heavens that surround us as we hang out there in space as the earth, these two crosshairs lined up, the dragon star with Alcyone and what the Bible calls the blessed constellation, the Pleiades, and the neck of the bull Taurus. That gives you a crosshair mark that is a date for calculating dates to test whether or not inscribed in stone was a prophetic plan laid out, as the Egyptian Book of the Dead says. Unbelievably, you follow the inches down this passage to where it turns upward in an ascending passage, you come exactly to a date. Now, in this book that I want to give you, so you can follow this mystery that I'm still trying to find out. I'm a skeptic. All I know is that Isaiah 19 declares that in the last days God will have a pillar and a stone of witness in the land of Egypt. You know numerology, know it's misapplied to the English language. Greek and Hebrew are among the languages where the letters also represent numbers. You don't have separate numbers from the letters. Taking the letters that comprise the verse, it says in the last days there will be a monument and a pillar, which can be a pillar of witness and testimony in the land of Egypt, and taking each letter as numbers. The first word has four letters in it, the numerical value of which is 2 plus 10 plus 6 plus 40, totaling 58. The second word has four letters in it, two of the same, numerically 5 plus 5, then another with the number 6 as its value, plus 1, totaling 17. On some of them, like the sixth word has, again, four letters in it. One means has a numerical value of 2, another 400, another 6, another 20, for a total value for that word of 428. You add up every word in this scripture, it comes to a numerical value of 5,449. The letters have a value of 5,449. Now, that wouldn't be significant, except that the height of the Great Pyramid from its base to its summit platform, because this picture is false in that it has no capstone. It is actually chopped off at the top and has no capstone. Let's see if we can get a picture of it. I can't get a picture here in Reader's Digest, but they They put a South African explorer, put a steel pole on the top of it. Some of you have seen pictures of it, with the top of the steel pole hitting the exact point where the apex would be. And the cornerstone is missing. There's only one true cornerstone. That's a four-sided pyramid where one stone would meet all the sides. No other building can have a cornerstone that is truly a cornerstone, that is unique, except the top or the apex of the pyramid. It's missing. There's a platform there. This verse of Scripture has a numerical value, exactly the number of inches, which is the height of that pyramid. Now, let's read that. Now, I don't care whether a person is Christian or not. This is sort of blows your mind. I mean, just as a historian, you've got to ask yourself, what does this mean? Isaiah 19. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of the hosts in the land of Egypt. Now, there are many kinds of altars. Some are for dedicatory offerings, others for a witness. This verse says, in the last days there'll be a sign in the land of Egypt as a witness for God. First century Josephus, the Jewish historian, writing under Roman auspices, said, the children of Seth, before the flood, received knowledge of a Holocaust to come, and they sought to preserve their knowledge, and they placed it in two monuments, one made of brick in the land that's identified as Mesopotamia and Babylon, the other made of stone and placed in the land of Syriac, worshippers of the star Sirius, Egypt. And Josephus says in the first century, that stone monument, the other one's gone, but the stone monument is there until this day. Now, in the 1800s, they suddenly discover these passageways with a remarkable inbuilt calendar. And this book will show you some of those dates. You can be able to use them as we talk about the pyramid and look at the dates and be amazed. You've got you that work with this book all the time. Tell me the page where the dates are. Quickly, somebody. Hurry up. All of you that got the book. Here we go. That's a close-up of the passages, but it doesn't have the dates. Somewhere in this book are the dates. I believe I can find it. There it is. It's the one after page 9. Remember that when you get it. The point where the scored lines give you your crosshair of dating, the point to Alcyone and the Pleiades, and the hole points out there to the North Star that was Thuban, meaning subtle, in the dragon constellation. You count the inches, there are only so many. From 2141 B.C., which is, and 2142 B.C. and 2143 B.C., these stars would not line up. That's your benchmark for counting. You count the inches to where this passage turns upward. Lo and behold, it comes out exactly 1453 B.C. Now, for years, people debated, when did the children of Israel leave Egypt? The debate among archaeologists vacillated between the 16th and the 12th century, narrowing down to the 13th and the 15th. Only in recent years have the various methods, including crosshairing the remarks in other archaeological finds and outside the Bible records, they are now debating about a 10-year period, which is in the 1450s B.C. The pyramid said it all along. History and archaeology is just now catching what the pyramid said. This turn into an upward path represents, in the old prophetic Egyptian Book of the Dead, the hall of truth in darkness. You have to stoop. To those that saw a prophetic pattern from the Bible, this represents the escape from the downward drag of the evil influence of the dragon. God's way of ascent, the escape of man from the drag of Satan, that during this period is the period under the law where you have to stoop to make the progress. All of a sudden, exactly so many inches. You can't change the pyramid. It's been measured and measured, but only so many inches between the point where it turns up and where this stoop narrow passageway opens up into the grand gallery. Give me a picture, Peter, on the other drawing I have here, the Grand Gallery of Truth. If you look closely there, you'll see that's 286.1 pyramid inches. Now, when the old Arab began to draw or dive in, come back to my picture. You can't hear Mike. When the Arab is yours, right where it's at, Peter. I just want Mike to find my pen here. When the Arab that discovered these passages for modern history began to dig, he took the pyramid, if I can draw with the camera on me, and he calculated, like a plumb line, the center point, digging in to where he thought or had heard the entrance was. He missed the entrance, because the entrance, this passageway that we see in the cross section, is set 286.1 inches to the left. What David Davison discovered was the sinister quality of man's error. As you study the pyramid, you find the architect had designed it perfectly, and those who built it made a 286.1 inch error to the left. In Latin, sinister, our word sinister comes from the Latin word for left. In the pyramid, movements to the left are away from God, movements to the right are toward God and His plan. Now, believe in God or not, the simple facts are the passageway by the designers was attempting to show that man had made an error. And because he made this error of 286 inches, it is followed through all the way to the top until when it gets to the capstone at the top, the capstone is exactly 286.1 pyramid inches too large to sit on the pyramid because of the error that was made 286.1 inches off. So in the pyramid, a movement to the right is to return to the right pattern. A movement to the left is to get off track. In the pyramid, expansion is moving upward toward what God wants. Contraction is narrowing it down. And that symbolism is built into the pyramid. As they move to this point, suddenly the error of man is corrected. And instead of walking stooped in this upward path to God's destiny for man, you stand upright and can move forward, and the correction of 286.1 inches is made at exactly this point in the ascent up the passageway. A 286.1 correction upward. When you get to the level section where you're going to move close to the tomb of resurrection and eternal life up here, as you come into the king's chamber, you can turn right, and the box or open tomb originally sat right on the center line of the pyramid, 286.1 inches. You were able to move back to the right until you were on the corrected path of what God wanted. All this symbolism to a hair's breadth is built in. That's a good picture there. As you finally arrive at the place where you're going to encounter the open tomb, you turn right 286.1 pyramid inches and you'll come to that horizontal line. The coffin, or so-called, has been moved because it's movable off the line, but it sits right on the line and you have returned to the point of accuracy. Now look, come back to me. I'm covering too many league boots at this moment. There's only so many inches between the benchmark 2141 B.C. and where you turn upward. History and archaeology is now proving what the pyramid said. The Exodus occurred 1453 B.C. The Exodus is blocked with a granite plug, which means you need a miracle to get past it, which is exactly what the story of the Exodus says. You walk stooped under the law until you come so many inches to a certain spot. That spot is exactly 33 A.D. There's another way of marking I can't talk about tonight that gets what's called the Christ triangle. The Christ triangle cuts the line of the surface at two points, 2 B.C. and 33 A.D., where the chamber opens up. For years, history taught, as I was saying when I ended it the other night, that Christ was born in 4 B.C. You can zoom in enough, Peter, you'll see that little Christ triangle right there. But I don't really need it at this point, so stay with me, Mike. I want to make a point now. I teach this in detail. I'm trying to show the people what the book will show them. And I don't teach to cram anything down anybody's throat. I'm fascinated by how this constancy of coming out on target can be explained. 1453 B.C. is now being confirmed as the Exodus date. Hey, I got seminarians in Dallas that listen to me. Velikovsky tried to build his whole theory on a 1250 Exodus, came to about 1440 as his final date. Historians and archaeologists have argued for years. I'm telling you, the pyramid gave the date, and history just keeps getting closer to it. For years, they said Christ was born, getting close to my pencil point here, Mike, in 4 B.C. Through an erroneous interpretation of the so-called eclipse that Josephus, the first century historian, was naming. It has subsequently been proven over and over again he was born in 2 B.C. and not born in December 25th, as Christmas says, but rather born in the fall of the year, which can be deduced from the course that John the Baptist's father kept as a priest. And when John the Baptist was born, he was 6 months earlier than Christ. He was born in the fall, no doubt in September, not December. Now, this opens up into the grand gallery of truth and light. This is truth and light. Now, you count the inches as you move up. You come to a great step right here. I'm not going to tell you what the step is. It goes up 35 plus inches, which is the expansion factor, and then you hit the level ground that produces and moves toward the end of time. Now, if I can get you to put your camera on it, Peter, I'm going to follow closely. As you walk on, that's a cutaway. As you walk on the level four floor, the first thing you hit is a depressed area right here. Got that? Now, as you go into that depressed area, it just so happens you hit it at exactly the date that the First World War opens. You come out of that depressed area to the day and the month, to the exact point where the First World War ends. You then are into the antechamber. Go back to that picture, through the antechamber, and you hit a second depressed area. Like at a Lumpet, it starts with the opening of the Great Depression and ends in 1936 with the Great Depression. Then you move into the true last days, if the prophet's interpretations are correct. You move into the true last days, and at that point, you are in a territory that speaks of the here and the now. Now, if I can find it quickly enough, I'm going to show you something else. It's scary, absolutely. See, I lost 30 minutes tonight. I had all this ready. I said, I've fooled around in Dallas enough. We can get serious tonight. Let me show you something. What I've just outlined is what the prophecy interpreters of the pyramid say. Come on this map now with me, if you can. What the prophecy interpreters say is the path of God's redeeming of man upward to return him to the chamber of the king. Man, under his own strength and his own path, under the influence of the dragon, keeps going downward. He ultimately will end up in the pit. 286.1 inches back from the entrance into the pit is the well shaft. It goes burrowing upward through the pyramid and splits the floor open right here at the point of the 286.1 opening into the grand gallery. Now, the undeniable teaching of these interior passages, whether true or not, 4,000 years ago, somebody put this message in that pyramid, is that man alone cannot, stay with my pen, man alone cannot turn upward. Man, by any effort of his own, is blocked by that granite plug, even though God in miracle took an oracle people and revealed the path. Man's heading downhill. His only hope is that just at the break-off point where you head into the pit, 286.1 inches back, Christ in man's place died, went to the pit, and rose again. The grave couldn't hold him and burst open into the grand gallery where the rectification factor has restored the error and puts him on the path heading upward. Which is to say, the only hope of man is not his own efforts of self-righteousness, follow my pen, not his efforts of righteousness, but rather, through faith being placed in Christ, who takes us to the redeeming point and puts us on the path to heaven. Which is why I teach no kind of self-righteousness. I find it comfortable with sinners because I'm on the same path they're on. But that wondrous new truth that Paul came preaching to both saints, sinners, Jews, and Gentiles is that God gives us a wondrous way to make it, which is to take our faith and because of our faith give to us the life of Christ and do for us what we can't do ourselves, and that never changes. Now, interestingly enough, as you get down this descending path of man, the point where it turns level, getting ready for the escape is the invention of the printing press. The bottom of that descending passage is the beginning, the Diet of Worms, the Reformation, Luther's work to start the Reformation. You follow it just before you get into the pit, this torn-up period when all the great revolutions right about the turn of the century hit. Both the history of man on its downward slide and the redemption of man according to the plan of God is claimed to be embedded in this pyramid, and that fascinates me, because unlike some interpretations, like the Bible, where everybody can take it and read it a different way, and some of them say, when it disagrees with them, right there is where I differ with the Bible. This pyramid is written in stone. You can't do much about it, my friend. And interestingly enough, a fascinating, unbelievable truth is that pyramid, Christ angle, if you take the north face of the pyramid and take that Christ triangle that identifies his birth and his life and extend the rim line from the north face of the pyramid, it runs straight across Bethlehem. You can call that an accident if you want, but it does. You can take the same rim line, run it the other way, and it will connect the two cornerstones at Stonehenge as though you drew an arrow to that spot. Now tell me on this spinning globe that that's an accident. But I got a lot to say about the pyramid.